Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this day, Father. I love the snow. I love, Lord, the whiteness of it, Lord God. I just love the purity of the snow, Father. And I thank you for this great day, Lord. Father God, we thank you for that we're alive, that we are living, that we're here, that we're the church, that we're the hope of the nation, that we're the light of the world, that we have a great story to tell, Father. And that we are history makers, Lord God. And we are like, Lord, mountain shakers, oh God. And Father, I pray that you would continue to mold us and make us. Speak to us afresh again this morning, Father, concerning your church and who we are as a church, Father. Bless each visitor with us, Father. Give us ears to hear you, Lord. Give us ears to hear what you would say to us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but gosh, I don't know what's. Maybe you can correct me after. But this is a different morning. Isn't it? It's a different feel in the house that is, I don't know, it's lovely and it's different and it's very calming. And if that's what the snow brings, if it brings the presence of God like this, I don't know. We could have snow every week. Only joking. Anyway. Last week, if you weren't here, please go to www.libertychurch.ie and go on to the podcast and download last week's sermon, because it is very important that we are up to speed with what I am saying, where we as leaders is leading the church, what we feel God is saying to us. And one of the things that I believe is happening to us as a church in our development as a church, there's lots of people that, you know, a couple of years ago, I was fed up to the back teeth reading leadership books that says you have to have a vision statement and a mission statement, and you try to make all these things up, and they're good things. But like, when you don't know some of the stuff that you really want to do, you can't verbalize it, you can't write it down, it's in there, but you can't get it out here yet. You can make this stuff up. Because you can find them in books and on the internet and what you should write and whatever. And I chose never to do that. Other than that, this is what our goal is to establish a large community of believers. Large because we want to reach as many people as we can. Large with the intention of, as long as there's one person in this community that doesn't know Christ, we believe that God wants this church to grow by that one. And we will not stop till we actually somehow make contact with that person or connect in some way. And so, having said that, I believe that we're finding out who we really are in these days. We're finding as leaders that the more we talk, the more we pray, the more we seek God, that it's coming out of us. This is who we are. This is what we're known for. This is what attracted people to us. This is what attracted the leaders to our church in initially. This is what attracts you to the church. And we're starting to look at them and go, yeah, that's us. That's who I am. That's when people say, who are you? And I say, I'm from Liberty. They're going to know because of certain characteristics and traits that is in our church and in our lives. God always revealed himself by his name. He says to Moses, he says, I am who I am is sending you. And attached to that I am was his character, his authority, his traits, his reputation was attached to every time they said his name. So when they said Yahweh, attached to that name was this great God who made the universe, who flung the stars into space, who was all powerful. When you say, that's Noel, who I am, you won't just go, oh, that's someone that looks like Noel, or that's someone that talks like Noel. You'll know whether it's Noel or not by his traits, by his characteristics, the way he carries himself, the way he expresses himself. Because you could have someone that looks like somebody, but that doesn't mean that somebody is that person who you think it is. But when you talk to them, when you listen to them, when you know their heart, you go, no, that's who Noel is. So when I say I am Noel, there's loads of things attached to that. When God says I am God, there's loads of character traits and authority attached to that, reputation attached to that. So I want us, as the tribe of Liberty, we are identifying what makes us Liberty. And when someone sees you, they'll go, they're Liberty. How do you know that? Because last week, one of the identifications is we are passionate. People have said that about us. We know that about ourselves. So when people go, my goodness, that person's going after Jesus. They go, who are you? I am Liberty. What tribe are you from? What church are you from? I'm from Liberty. Now people will get to the point where they won't even, they go, you know who you remind me of? Liberty. You know you have them characteristics of? Liberty. Now the tribe of Liberty will be someone that is out in the church, in the other churches, out in community, in the workplace, expressing who we really are. And that's all last week's. There's people that have said things about our church. There's pastors that have quoted. There's people here that has been connected to our church as a result of who we are and what we're about. Like that little video says, why are you here? Because something attracted you here. Something about the house. We're no bigger or better than anyone else. But something about the traits of Liberty has you coming back. It has to be more than just the music. It has to be more than just the preaching. It has to be more than this. There's something much more deeper than this. And last week we spoke about I am Liberty, I am passionate. And this week I want to talk about I am Liberty, I am connected. Liberty will be a trait known as people that are passionate, but also that people are connected. People that are in community with one another. This is a great day of connectivity in our world. I just read this week that there's 6 billion people in the world. And just in the 6 billion people in the world, you can imagine how many of them are in third world countries and developing countries. But in fact, here's how big connectivity is today. There's 4 billion mobile phones registered in the world today. There's 6 billion people and there's 4 billion mobile phones registered in the world today. And this company goes around finding out all these things, and that's some job, isn't it? So it's easy to be connected. Internet, Bebo, Facebook, all of the ways, 4 billion mobile phones. You can imagine the text messages that are going through the airwaves at any given moment, the phone calls, that connectivity is something that the people of the world crave for. And yet, it doesn't seem to be in the world. I want us to be known as a people that are connected to one another, that have this community life, that have this deep roots in each other's lives, that we are joined together, that when one hurts, we all hurt, that when one celebrates, we all celebrate. Now, when one is successful, it's like we're all being successful. That we don't fall into the Irishness of who does he think she is or she thinks she is. Because by doing that, you're only pulling yourself down in some way. That we're so much for each other. That for Eddie to be successful, I am successful. For me to be successful, you're successful. For you to be successful, I'm successful. Connected, by definition, is this, to be affiliated. To be joined in close association. Definition of connected is to be linked together. Another definition throws up, it's like being wired together like an alarm system. That we're all wired together if we're connected. We're plugged in. A definition of community is a group of people living in a local area. Or a group of people that have a common interest or a common ownership of something. But the scripture gives us something deeper than just being involved in a locality or just having some things in mind. The scripture certainly gives us the impression of things like being linked together, being joined together, being hardwired by God that I need you and you need me and we need one another. The goal of Scripture when it talks about community or connectedness is that the individual is great, but not at the expense of the common good of everyone else. The Bible places a huge emphasis on commonality, but with the purpose of that's for the good of everybody and not just individuals. But it's also deeper because it's not just people that have the same goals or the same interests. The Bible talks about the diversity of the body. So it has to be more than about people from the same background or people with the same interests or goals. Now, the Bible teaches us to celebrate the diversity that we all bring to the table. That you're not like me, thank God, and I'm not like you, thank God. And the danger of church life and the danger of like the world, and this is what all this globalization marches do be against and all. Because they're saying we're all being conformed into likeness of one another. That there's a thinking out there that we're all going to think the same way and act the same way and dress the same way. That's why you can go to most parts of Western Europe and go in and find a shop called Zara. Because they're everywhere. And the thing is that we nearly be all wearing the same clothes. And there's people that is rallying against this type of thinking that, no, look, we don't all just want to be cookie-cutted. We don't want to be all just robots made the same with the same actions. And the Bible doesn't teach that that's what it is to be in community, of to have things in common. The Bible celebrates the diversity, the uniqueness of each individual, and yet the power of the individuals coming together in a collective. Are you with me? Dr. John Andrew says this. This is what connectivity is. We stand alone together. We stand alone together. Yet we're unique, and yet we're individuals, but we stand together. The Bible is very clear. If you want to turn to Genesis 2:18, put your finger in Psalm 68. And some others can go to Ecclesiastes 4, and some can go to 1 Corinthians. The Bible has a lot to say to us about being created for community. That we're created to be connected. In Genesis 2:18, it says, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good that man is isolated. It's not good that man just stays in his own uniqueness. And God says, I'm going to create for him a suitable partner. Someone that will complement. Someone that will add to him. Someone that will make his uniqueness even shine brighter. We're created for community. We're created for connectedness. In Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, this is what God says. God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families. He says, you know, you're not meant to be on your own. You're not meant to go through life on your own. You're not meant to just face the uphill battles on your own. See, if you're lonely, I'm going to set you in with families. Ecclesiastes 4, one that we all spoke at weddings. If you ever preached at a wedding or been to a wedding, the two are better than one. They lie down together to keep warm. They have a good return for their work. That if one gets attacked, the other can stand and defend. He's saying that we were created for this. We are created to be together. We were created to be connected. In the New Testament, it talks about that we are the body. It says in Corinthians 12:12, it says, they form one body. They form one body. Can you imagine if the body was disconnected? If my arm was over there, it would die off. If my finger was cut off and left there, it would just rot and die. The pictures that God gives us in the scriptures about us being connected is all over the place. He wants us to have the picture of that we, our entire existence, physical, mental, emotional, is defined by the relationships and emotional attachment with other people. John Andrews said again, he says, when we love and are loved, a deep-seated emotional mark is made in our lives, in our minds, in our relationships that filters through our thoughts and emotions and times where we can feel connected and belonging in a place with other people. It says that when we connect with somebody, it leaves an indelible mark deep within inside of our hearts and emotions. And that when you are loved and you have loved, it throws up feelings of security. It throws up feelings of, I'm not on my own. I am connected to someone else. We need to define our successes in life by actually the relationships we're connected to. We get all types of things thrown at us. This is how you define success. I think as a church, the best way to define ourselves is What relationships have we got that are rich in our lives? Are we going to be people that are estranged from others? Are we going to be people that are estranged from people because of our lack or because of our behavior? Are we going to be people that are not rich in relationships? You know what? I'm 42, and I look forward to the day when I'm 82. And this is the picture I have in my mind. Sharon always says, Noel, you have great ideals. I wish I was an artist. I said, I'd love to be painting them for you. I have this idea where the people who I'm doing life with now, you guys, that we're still friends. That we still have some connection somewhere in life. Whether you're on the mission field in China, whether you've moved up to Donegal, maybe if you're over in London or Scotland, that somehow we're still connected. That somehow it wasn't like, I'm not going to talk to him again because Noel always is real to people. I pray that when I'm 82, I'm sitting down and I have a richness of, I don't care about where I live. I don't care about what I drive. I don't care about what I have in the bank. What I do care is that the relationships that I have would be rich. That my daughters don't say, I'm not going to see that elfly. He's always cranky. That I'm not bringing my grandkids to see her. Not you, Sheridan. I'm talking about my own ma. That it's not like this, that like people be like delighted to be around us. People say that your relationship life with other people would be so rich. And that's the way we define success. Who will be at your grave? Who will be around your bed when you're older? That's who I want to define my success as. My grandkids, no pressure again, Patrice. We have a little dog now. Pepper and Duff. Lovely little dog. Patrice brings her in. Rob bought a baby dog for Christmas. And brings the little dog in. Patrice goes, this is Grandad. I'm like, I want a little baby to bounce on me knee. The dog jumps on me. She realizes who I am. Grandad. I want my grandkids. I want my kids. I want their spouses, if they choose to go that way. I want friends that I'm doing life with. Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to that house. That's how we need to define who we're connected with, that the indelible, deep-seated emotional marks that we leave in one another's life are not bitterness and anger. But they're like things that build us up and emotions and words that say, I'm connected. I'm plugged in. I'm wired with that church. I'm wired with that person. I'm wired with that individual. They've done something in my life that makes me richer. Loneliness is the only real poverty that persists despite of wealth, power, and even the most of impressive achievements. You can read books on great men that achieved great things and are poverty stricken because they've no relationships in their life. You may have great wealth. Or someone would say, I'd give it all back. I would give it all away just to have my kids beside me. Because loneliness and the poverty of loneliness, it doesn't have any social barriers. It doesn't go, oh, the rich can have all the relationships and the poor can't. Poverty goes right through. Poverty of relationships go right through. We need to intentionally devote ourselves as a church to be connected. It's not something that just happens. A fella came to our church one time, 2 weeks here. And I don't care what social gathering you go into. But if anyone thinks they can go into any situation where there's other people and they're going to walk right in to the inner circle of that group, there's something wrong with that thinking. Because people are still people. And it takes time to get to know people, doesn't it? It takes time to trust people. And someone walks in, yet we have to make them welcome, yet we have to want them to belong. But we also have to realize that when we walk into any place, that we don't just become the center of attention and that I need to know the deeper inner workings of the circles of the church. But you know what? As a person, I'm going to put myself out there to be connected with. As a person, I'm going to go, yeah, how's it going? Instead of always waiting for someone to say to me, how is it going? I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and go, I want to be connected. I want to be someone, hey, look, I'm giving off these feelings, I'm giving off these vibes because I want to be connected. So there's something we have to do to be connected. And then there's things that as a church and as a people, we have to do to other people so that they can be connected. Yeah? The picture of connectivity is demonstrated and modeled in the scriptures everywhere you look. Look at the Godhead, the Trinity. Three persons in one. They're in constant communion. Constant connectivity. You've seen Jesus and the Father when he was on the cross, when the connectivity was broken because of our sin, the wrongs that we'd done. And he's like, Father, why have you forsaken me? He's like, the connection was broken. There was a devastation in Jesus' voice and a desperation in Jesus' voice. Father, where are you? And I pray as a church that we would have that type of connection. First of all, with God, which we spoke of last week. But with one another. It's like, where is she? Where is he gone? Why is he not here anymore? I'm going to need to make connection because I had a connection with that person and I don't see them around anymore. And it's like, Father, where is he? And we reestablish the connection, the community that's in the Trinity. The Bible talks about the family. You see it in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's life. The connection that was in the family, the picture that's modeled of community in Israel, in the tribes. Like God broke down the tribes for many reasons, but one of them is that they could have interconnecting relationships with one another. That it was just a big nation. They were broken down into groups, broken down into villages, broken down into families, broken down into different community type of leadership and eldership things so that people could get together because the Bible models and demonstrates connectivity. And then there's the church. And the New Testament talks about the body. Talks about us being for one another, standing for one another, believing for one another, forgiving one another, preferring one another, thinking the best of one another, letting wrongs go that we do to one another. He talks about the body being connected. And next week we're going to look at the incredible benefits of connectedness. But I want to look at some of the cultural trends that will keep us from being connected. Yeah? One is, these are beliefs that are out there. They're beliefs that will affect us all. And one of them is individualism. Now, individualism is not like what I talked about, our uniqueness. We're made as individuals. Individualism is a belief in the importance of the individual, that everything that is about, it's about me. Everything is, the world revolves around me. Everything is, I'm personally dependent on me. Individualism, it says that the interest of the individuals takes precedent interest over any social group. It means it doesn't matter what you all want, it's what I want. It doesn't matter what God says, it's what I want them to say. It doesn't matter what his will is, it's what my will is that matters. It doesn't matter what feels good to you, it's what feels good to me that matters. And this is an increasing cultural trend that has been, you know, given out all over the place. It filters out in all types of situations. It's my world that I create, and I'm the God on the throne. I love my iPod. But when you sit on the Lewis or on the train, or you walk in town, and you put the iPod in, you just go into your own world. And it's that feeling, that trend that cuts into every sector of society. Mobile phones, we used to ring through the, what was that thing called? The switchboard. No, we're individuals. We cut it out. And the trend is being cut, and it filters into the church. And this is the way it filters in. It's about me. It's not about me reaching out to be connected to someone else. It's what's the church doing for me? What's God doing for me? What is the pop psychology that comes out of different channels on TV that express things of God? It's like, you be better, you be richer, you be prosperous, you be this, you be that. It's all about us. And yet the Bible says, yeah, some of that stuff is really good and it's right. But not when it's all about us. Because what about them that's out there? What about them that's in Belarus? What about them that is in Zimbabwe? So it can't be all about us. And yet this whole individualism says, no, it is about me. And this builds right into loneliness. Society is ravaged with the lack of true relational connections. The busyness of life, overcommitted schedules, big cities, and people still feel alone. For in the church, and people still feel alone. Crowds and crowds of people, and people still feel alone. People surround themselves with all types of things, and yet the craving is for real relationships. Loneliness is a poverty that goes beyond all the social barriers. And then isolation. Individualism promises to give us the best only to inflict us with the disease of loneliness, and it flows into the feelings of isolation. These are cultural things. Don't tell anyone your business. Go through it yourself. Isolate yourself with your problem. Cut yourself off from the rest of the group and just make it on your own. Just when your problems persist and your enemy roars like a lion, you be the one in the pack that goes that way while all the pack is going that way. And you know who the lion goes after? Not the pack. It goes after you on your own. Isolationism. Why did you go through this on your own? I didn't want to bother anybody. All of the things that individualism feeds into our minds. I don't want anyone to know me. I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want to be a pain to anybody. Why? I thought we said we're connected. I thought we believe we're family. I thought we believe that we have the answers for one another. I thought we believe in encouraging, in spurring one another on. Our society that we live in is characterized by fragmentation. We're split up, broken, isolated from one another. Individual thinking rules and reigns. And I don't want us to be a church that is remembered for this. I don't believe we are. Consumerism is another trend that keeps awaiting connectivity. I'm going to buy something to fill the need and the void that relationship should be filling. I heard something on the radio today I thought was funny. A new diet that's out in Hollywood that when you think you're going to eat something like food that's not good for you, go out and buy yourself a pair of shoes. Or go out and buy yourself something. Isn't it crazy? Do you know what I mean? Like, go out and buy something. Like, first of all, like, it's only in Hollywood that they could actually even say that thing. But you were saying, like, you know, get away from the need of being someone who was like, I says, what's wrong with saying, no, I'm not eating something? What's wrong with being self-controlled? What's wrong with saying, no, I'm not going to go for that because it's only a minute and it's gone? But we try to fill the needs. I'm going to buy something so loneliness is fed. But it's only temporary because we need relationships. It's not good. It's not good. And I believe this with all my heart, that one of the devil's biggest plans and activity is to keep us separated as the body of Christ. If he can just keep us separated, there's no spurring one another on. There's no vision. There's no connectivity. There's no community. And we have, in these days, opportunity to give something back to society that has lost. Us as Liberty, us as one of the churches in our city, we have an opportunity to give back to society, community, people that are connected. It is a huge opportunity that has been afforded to the church because people are looking for people to be belonged to. People are craving for relationships that are deeper than what clothes you're wearing or what I have in the bank. They're looking for something that's deeper than, I want to be better than the Joneses. And this is the church's opportunity to rise up, to be church that is connected, that believes in community, that goes the extra mile for one another. Jesus says, this is what my community looks like. You need a coat, I have two, take one. My goodness, the world would give anything to belong to a community like that. Well, you need it, you need a hand up, here, get on my back. The church would give and you need a hand out, I have an extra fiver, here you go. The world would give anything if they just knew what we really have. You're crying, I'm crying with you. You're celebrating, I'm going to be your biggest champion and telling everyone about you. If the church just looks at us and sees this in us, the world, sorry, looks at us and sees the church being what it really is, a people of connectivity, a people that is one, a people that is concerned for the world, the people that are concerned for other people. Trust me, society will give anything to belong to a church like this. They just know that they're belonged. Francis Schaeffer said this, "Our relationship with each other is the criteria the world uses to judge whether or not our message is truthful." Christian community is the final apologetic. Because they're looking, and it's been an accusation. I have read and listened to podcasts over this last 2 weeks that would break your heart because it broke mine. And it talked about polls that has been done, video interviews that have been done about what people in the world that don't go to a church or don't want anything to do with a church actually thinks of the church. It would kill you, I'm telling you. It would. And I'm like, Lord, that is not us. That will not be us. Now, I'm not responsible for the church in Dublin, but I'm partly responsible for this church. And like, what they say is not going to be us. And you guys have to believe me. You just have to join in with me. You have to say, we're on. If you say, no, that's what we're not going to be. We're not going to be that. And if I have to sacrifice, if I have to put something off, if I have to go an extra mile, if I have to end up with one jacket instead of 20, I will be that because I'm not going to be what people say what the church is. That when they say liberty, they're going to say, that's not them. Like when people say Christians judge you, no, well, look, I've met people from Liberty. They don't judge you. They seem to accept you. Oh, we don't just accept people coming in, or we don't just accept that anyone can just sin and do what they want. But we're not judging them on it. Because that's God. And if they're connected to the church and want to move on in things, well, then there is stuff that we have to hold the ground on. But not to walk in the door. But we're not going to be this church. As a church, we have to devote ourselves to building lives of connectivity so that when people come in, we have something to bring them into. Hey, what is it about them? Man, that guy, he doesn't just go 1 mile with someone. He goes an extra mile. He doesn't just talk what they're saying, or she doesn't just speak a language. They're actually doing the language that they speak. In a time when in our city and in our nation, entering into a time where there's going to be new homeless people. And they're not just people that are addicted to drink or drugs or anything. We're entering into a time when there's going to be more pressure put on families. People losing their jobs. Family pressure's coming on like never before. And the church has an opportunity to be able to say, but that's not what life is about anyway. Do you want to be rich in relationships? Come on to a church that will stand with you when you've no job. Come on, be part of the community that I belong to. That if you haven't got a jumper, we'll buy you a jumper. We'll give you Eddie's jumpers. We'll put your hand in Eddie's pocket to give you something. He's getting nervous. Jesus said to the disciples, says to the people that were listening, they knew exactly what he was saying. He says, if you're asked to carry or go a mile, he says, go an extra mile. And the hearers in Jesus, they knew what that meant. There was a law that the Roman soldiers could use. And the people that were under their dominion, the people that they had oppressed, they could say, a soldier could say, come here, Peter, I want you to carry that shield, I want you to carry that bag, I want you to carry it a mile. By law, you could carry a mile. You had to carry it a mile. If you didn't, you could get beaten up, you could get thrown to prison, or whatever. So everyone knew when Jesus says walk that mile, everyone knew what he said. But Jesus brought it and he said, no, know what to do. Walk an extra mile. So by law, they had to go a mile. By duty, we do so many things as Christians out of duty. I need to do this because I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to do this that I'm a Christian. And we get all muddled up in life because we live in according to duty instead of according to passion. Instead of according to just following Jesus and let his life live out from us. And Jesus says, now look at shock the life out of them. Go another mile. Not because I have to, but because I want to. And guys, we have done that time in and time out. And there's people here that have stood with people in prisons, in hospitals, in life, in their job, and you've gone the extra mile. And guys, that is amazing, and keep doing it. Here's what I want to just say for this morning. Make sure we're doing that in this house. Look for people that need an extra mile person to walk with them. Because this is what integrity is. Doing on the outside what you do on the inside. And I want us to be a church of integrity. Now we're doing here what we're doing out there. And sometimes it's easier to do it out there. Because you can do it out there without the connectivity. You can do it out there without having to build the deep relationships. You can do it out there without the risk of being hurt. You do it in church and you risk being hurt. You do it in church and you run the risk of someone letting you down. And sometimes it's easier to do it out there. But integrity is this. What you do on the outside, you do it on the inside. And I say, guys, be an extra mile people. I am so proud of our church these last 2 weeks. I'll tell you why. And I'll finish with this. Eddie stood up here last week leading the meeting. And he says, guys, I want to thank you for all the text messages you sent me this week. And the phone calls. And I'm just like, my goodness. We're starting to get something that is very intentional on their behalf as leaders. Jimmy and Caroline, their little baby's in hospital the last month. And they don't know what's wrong with Daniel. They've sent off marrow tests and blood tests. And Jimmy and Carol says to Sharon 2 weeks ago, make sure you tell the church thanks for all the visits, all the text messages, the cards, the phone calls. And I was sitting there during the morning just waiting on God. And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm so proud of Liberty. Because that's community. That's connectedness. Now, here's what happens. Here's what church life used to be when I was growing up in the church. That the pastor does all that. That if 28 people could ring somebody, but if the pastor doesn't, the church wasn't in contact with me. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what the church is. I have tried to kill off the persona of the super pastor ever since I realized what Ephesians 4:11 says, that the pastor is there to equip the saints, you guys, to do that work. And when you sit up, Eddie and Jimmy, I'm like, we're getting this. It's starting to work in to the psyche and the culture of our church. That it's not about whether Noel does it, it's when we do it. It's when we do it. The church does it. The body says, yeah, I'm connected to that person over there, and she's connected to him there. And somehow when you're missing, something's missing in me. That, like, I'm not wired, the wording's not right, my connection is not right, my linkage to another person is not right, and I'm going to find out where they are. How you doing? Please, I know I'm praying for you. That's the church. The role of the super pastor does not live in this place. That mentality is being killed time in and time out because my role is to equip the saints to do the work of service. Not that I don't contact. I'm not getting out of it. But here's the way it was. And if you're from another church, guys, please don't do this to your pastor. Because here's what everyone wants. Pastor to pray for them. To rear their kids nearly. To do Sunday school. To visit everybody. To go to the hospitals, to dedicate the babies, to put out the bins, to raise the dead, to organize the outreaches, to prepare the word, study the word, preach the word, educate himself, welcome everybody, train the church, pray for the church, raise the finances, dress the kids, raise the kids, turn off the lights and put the car out. That's what everybody wants for the pastors. No wonder we're being burnt out. No wonder the pastors, they say in America that three pastors a month leave their posts. Because they live in a culture where it's super pastor. And he does do all of that. But here's what we're going to do. Say, no, it's not about him. It's about us. And there is time for leadership. And we are leaders. And there is time when the senior leaders and leader has to be called in. We see the stuff of just connectedness. Of just doing life together. We all do that. And I'm so proud of you. That in these two situations, and more that I don't know about, well, just that these were in the air. I'm like, Liberty, build a bus. Well done. Give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a pat on the back. You're doing what we are preaching and trying to live out in this church. And I think that is great. We're going to get the worship team back up because our time has run out. Next week, we're going to talk about the benefits of being connected. But here you go. I'm going to give you a tip Quick 10 tips of how not to be connected. So if you don't want to be connected, you can follow these through, right? Here's one of them. Keep your conversation short. So if someone says, how are you doing? You go, fine. That's a great way of not being connected. So if you don't want to be connected, that's a great little thing. You know, keep it short and sweet. Don't bother talking about anything but the weather. Here's number two. If you don't want to be connected, always sit in the seat that you always sit in. Because you're keeping the safety of the same people around you that you're keeping conversations short with. Here's number three. Avoid new people. Never talk to them. That's a great way of not being connected. Just say you're not good with new people, that you haven't got the energy, and just walk straight by them. Just say hello as you're walking by them. And you don't need to connect with anyone that way. That's great. Here's another one. Always come in late. You never really have to connect with people when you come in late. It's a great tool. So if you don't want to connect with people, always come late because you can avoid everybody on the way in. And the other thing is when you come in late, you avoid new people because they're always here earlier. Here's another one. If you want to just, here's a great tip on not being connected. Leave immediately after service. Just leg it home. Just get out here on your way out. See us, boy. Yeah, but boy. And that's a great way of never being connected. It always works. Here's another one. If you don't want to be connected, be physically present, but mentally absent. You know, pretend you're listening to somebody. It's a great way of not getting connected. Oh, they're talking about the life. You're like, oh, man, United is on today. Sorry. Or they're going, boy. Or you're talking to them, and everyone else that's going, boy, you're going like, oh, yeah. Great, always works every time. Here's another one. Here's a big one. Avoid this at all costs if you don't want to be in community. Don't share the meal together. Never do that. The danger is you get talking about family and you get talking about your story and connection gets in there and you go to church next week and they're like, oh, I missed you last week. And don't share meals because that is a killer. And here's another one. Stay very, very, very busy. See, the more busyness you have of a Sunday morning, the less you have to deal with people. So that's another great one. And here's another one. If you want to stay disconnected, make your default response. Everything's great. How are you doing? Everything's great. Never going to any depth, any deeper level. It's always, not that I'm struggling, not that life is bad. A great tip for not being connected, is go into your default mode. I'm great. Everything's great. And the best of all is, you never want to be connected. Just don't show up. I mean, you don't have to meet new people. You don't have to have the 30-second conversations. In fact, overall, it just kills off community. It doesn't just avoid community. Not showing up just kills her off. Let's pray. That was all sarcasm, you know that. They weren't tips, like, of just in case. If you have to explain something, you've lost it, but hey. Father, we love you. And I'm just so glad, Father, that we have found connection with you and you with us. And Father, with everything that's within me, I pray that that same love of community that you have would go forth from us to one another. And that, Lord, we would truly, truly be a witness and a light to this world that are craving depth of relationships and community. A place where they can find someone to be honest with. A place where they would find belonging. A place, Father, where we could do life together, stand together, believe together, pray together, weep together, laugh together, raise our kids together, see our young ones being married together, Father God. Now, Father, that we would have such a richness that when the people of society looks in, that at least for liberty, Father, we would dispel some of our own false stuff. And Father, I ask that you forgive us. I ask that you forgive us, Lord. And that you would make us, Lord God, that city on a hill that is so attractive, Lord, because we're a people of substance, we're a people of depth, we're a people of connectedness, we're a people of community. And Father, I pray for liberty. I pray for those who are visiting us, Father, I pray, Father, that their churches would be blessed. I pray, Father, for us as Liberty, that this would be a blessing that we could give to society in this day where they're screaming out, Father, for something deeper. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, bless your people. Break any of that individualism off of us. Expose it. Isolation, consumerism, Father. Loneliness, Father. Just show us the place where that lands and what we need to do to shift it from our lives, Father God. Father, I pray that we would connect with people, Lord God, in church, Father. And Lord, as we'll explore over these coming weeks, that we would connect with people that don't belong to the church, Father. Father, this is the church's year. This is the church's day, Father God, where we can give something back to our city that has been robbed. And we all say, Amen.